So I have the pleasure of speaking to Dr. Heather Broby. Hello, Dr. Heather.
Good morning.
And you've just released this wonderful book called Becoming Purposefully You, which I've been browsing over the last few days. And you're the founder of Free Your Mind Psychological Services Limited. And you're a mother, an anointed worshipper, and an honorary award winner of Women Appreciating Women 2018 by Dr. Pauline Long. And you're now a doctoral holder. You're an international and national experienced psychologist in the clinical and forensic field with a history of writing reviews of psychological published books. You also have written an article on mental health and its effect on faith in the Africanist magazine and Deed CCL magazine. You've had the privilege of being a diaspora Commonwealth community speaker on Ben TV in Dr. Pauline Long's show, and also been a guest panelist on the Africanist magazine event. Wow, did I get everything right there? That's amazing.
Yeah, that's right. And I've also had just recently the privilege of being a guest speaker at the Pauline Long event that she had just 2 weeks ago, talking about mental health matters as well, in the presence of the First Lady of Sierra Leone as well.
Oh, so wow.
Good praise for that.
Yeah. Oh, so that's the Prime Minister's wife of Sierra Leone, yeah? That's major. Wow. So I've been looking at the book. Congratulations. I'm sure it takes a lot to decide what to put in a book. Well done. I was reading through it, and what I love about this book is it's not all jargon, because I was thinking psychology. Oh, no, that's going to be really... Some of it is about the brain, which is good, but a lot of it is practical steps, and it's very interactive. So yes. It says it's a devotional daily to help you step out of your mess and step into your message. I like that. And You know, you put a little message in it for me when you sent it. You know that word, always remember everything is working out for your good. You don't know how on point, but I opened it at the right time that I read that little message, because I needed to hear that.
Amen, yeah.
So first of all, this is your first book, right?
Yes.
And how long did it take to write, and what made you want to write it in the first place?
It took 3 weeks to write the book.
3 weeks. But obviously you've studied for much longer than that. So this must have been all like building up in you then.
Yeah, because what was happening was I would send messages daily to a group of people, my contact list, and I would send daily devotionals to them.
Mm-hmm.
This will include verses, or will include a message, or include something that they would read that will help them for the week.
Mm.
But sometimes I did it daily. Other times I'll do it maybe twice a week, just to help people, because a lot of people do go through a lot of issues, and they may not even be going through mental health illnesses, but you know, something that has set them back, and just a little reminder to say, just keep going. So that's something, because I counsel people on a daily basis, sometimes for 5 hours, 6 hours in a day. I thought, you know what, let me send messages to a whole group of people on my contact list and help them to also push themselves, because not everybody speaks. And some people are at the high caliber that they may not speak, or, you know, they feel like it's going to undermine their authority or position.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do that on a daily basis. And a lot of people would say, Heather, why don't you just turn this into a book?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you turn this into a book? And I'd be like, yeah. And then, you know, I started to put this together. 3 years ago, I was like, let me just write a book.
Mm.
But the Holy Spirit said it wasn't time.
Mm.
So I was just doing it on a daily basis. You know, counseling people, you know, I have the social media, so I'll put a word on there. And sometimes it'll be so long, but it was in my heart. And then sometimes say, you know what, it's time. The Holy Spirit said it's time to just get your voice out there.
Mm.
And it wasn't like a book, an ordinary book that, you know, you're just talking about the mind, as you said, and you know, just saying, what is psychology? What is mental health? I wanted to go deeper and allow people to engage with the book. Let it be interactive. Let them look into themselves. Let them confront personal issues or internalized issues or repressed issues that they are going through. And they may not be able to speak to anybody else, or may not have trust issues as well to be able to speak to people. But that book is like a guide. It's like a friend. It's like, you know, an accountability, because a lot of people don't have accountability.
No.
So that book keeps them in check, you know, so it's not a book that you rush through. It's
no.
Just a book that you grow through.
Yeah, it's almost like a workbook as well. It's I can't imagine going through this book properly without it having an impact on your life, really, and changing some mindsets. You know, I was looking, and there's been so much talk, and I'm glad that mental health is more of a, you know, out there now, and it's more, there's more awareness. But there's, you know, I know that you know, in, especially in churches and in leaders, depression is a no-no word, isn't it? It's such a taboo subject. Because if you admit that, it's like, well, where's the joy of the Lord, you know? So it's, I guess they can manifest those feelings as well and make the situation worse. But you speak about in the book as well as recognizing the signals. And also what I love is you talk about the difference between sadness and depression, and you really just sadness is not depression. Bereavement is not depression. So, and then you've got a checklist of like how to identify if it's depression. And you also say like so loosely used, and you know, like, oh, I'm so depressed today. I'm like, no, you are not depressed. You just might be feeling down, but you're not depressed.
So we have to be careful with our words.
And
we have to have a better understanding of what depression is, because we do use the term loosely, and therefore we categorize ourselves with other people that are actually really going through bad depression. And this is where people will say, oh, just get over it, or you know, you just, you know, it's just a loss you've gone through, is normal. But then people that are actually dealing with depression, because they've been, you know, stigmatized and also categorized with people that just feel a sense of loneliness or sadness, they are put to or marginalized to one side because they're not being recognized, that they actually cannot get out of the bed. Or some of them are walking normally, you know, going to work, dressed up very well, you know, some on the worship team.
Like a mask.
Even pastors, but they've got masks on them and they are dying in them. And this is where my main aim is, you know, I'm a psychologist, so I work with people that are not Christians and are Christians, but at the same time, I really just want the church to just understand that mental health is real. We cannot pray away mental health. There are things that are spiritual, because I am, you know, I'm a worshiper. I believe in God, and I believe that in his name, every demon can flee. I believe in his name that even depression can flee. But at the same time, if we look at it in a holistic approach, you know, because you can pray, you know, there are people that pray, okay, in the name of Jesus, take away, you know, diabetes, but you still need to go through the phase of having medication, going for checkups, making sure you eat the right thing and you stay away from the right thing. And that's the same with mental health. You have to make sure that what are you allowing in on a daily basis? What have you made yourself comfortable with? What's your circle like? How was your childhood? Has it stemmed, you know, has that feeling stemmed from there? Is there something that you suppress or repress? And how are you dealing with it? If you're in a place that is allowing you to be comfortable with being depressed and just depressing it, you have to ask yourself what is wrong.
There's a bit in the book as well that really just spoke volumes, and it's almost like talking like the brain is a sponge, and the thoughts it will produce the thoughts that we've most thought of, that if somebody's just thought negative thoughts the whole time, that everything that they say will be negative. I'm sort of trying to simplify it, but it shows that if they've over the years just built up this picture of negativity, it means that everything that comes out their thought process will mirror that negativity. And because I'm not going to name anyone, but I think, why are you saying that about yourself? Oh, well, I know that talking to me is boring, but I'm like, why do you know that? Why do you think you know that? I've never said, I've never implied that I'm bored of what you're saying, you know? So it's like, and it's this constant message they've programmed themselves, oh, nobody loves me, everyone hates me, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, maybe they've been rejected as a child, but, or you've had, you know, they've suffered some sort of rejection, but there's this constant need for affirmation, and you know, and it's like, almost like a self-loathing thing. I don't know, and it's really tiring speaking to them. But that's the other thing I was going to ask you, because when people are in a certain way, I kind of how common is it for people to avoid them completely and let them just be brewing that depression, if you like, as opposed to reaching out to them?
I think it's very common. A lot of people don't have the mental capacity and even the skill set to be able to deal with certain people that just always low. And especially when they see it as a normal way of life. But then, you know, there are people that do have that capacity that will just keep. No seed that we put in the life of someone is ever in vain.
Right.
It may take years for that person to understand like who they are, but there is no seed that you have sown into someone's life. And this is like positive seeds and stuff that is in vain. And I always speak, because we get very used to like, let's speak affirmations, you know, I am prosperous, I am great. But if someone has lived a lifestyle of I am rubbish. I am nothing. I am worthless. There is no affirmation in even God's word that will make you think that you are great. You are, you know, you are the best. You are this. And this is where it takes, you know, them, especially if you just go to counseling, you have to question yourself and ask yourself, why do I think I'm worthless? Why would God think I'm worthless? Mm. Why do I call myself worthless? You have to turn it around into a question, because an affirmation can never go down to your subconscious and become who you are if it's deeply rooted. I think in the book I write something like, there are protein plants, which I learned from Dr. Leaf, and she said there are protein plants that we stem in our mind, and every time we call ourselves worthless, we create a DNA within our mind, and every time there's a situation that happens externally, that DNA keeps multiplying in our mind. And this is where some people continually say, I am worthless, I am nothing, there is nothing to me, and no matter what people say. And this is where it takes 21 days to identify those roots, but it doesn't stop there. It takes another 21 days to now create another thing. The Bible says that there is power in the mouth, in the tongue, and we either say life or death. You know, so whatever you speak of, that is the fruits that you will speak thereof. But if that's all you know, it's going to take someone else that will pull you. And this is where I just really feel that people need to take away that stigmatization of going for counseling. It doesn't take away who you are as a person. It doesn't make you less of a person in faith. It does not change who you are. You know, even Jesus himself, he spoke to the need of the people before he even could reveal who he is. So if mental health has become a blocker in my life, how would I be able to see the revelation of who God is? I can't see the revelation of who God is because I'm in my own world. And until I allow and acknowledge that my world is not what I want to live in, I want to create a reality in me that I can become who I've actually been purposed and called to be, and step out of this mess that I've allowed to become a house, who I've allowed, you know, it to become a place of, like, you know, a mansion in which I live in, and I invite all these other thoughts and furniture to stay within my mind and embody everything that I am. No, I will step out of it, and then I will, you know, release that side of me that I can really truly become purposefully me.
You just said it. And, you know, I'm going to be very controversial here. How common is it for single people to think that when their partner comes along, that's when it's going to be all right?
Yes.
You know, why can't it be all right before the partner comes along? So this isn't just, you know, you're not you when your partner comes, you're you already, right?
Yeah, this is it. But I think what happens is a lot of us don't talk about singleness. What are you doing in your singleness? Why do you feel that you have to wait for someone else to validate you? That means every day you're going to be looking for someone to validate who you are, and you'll never be happy. So you need to ask yourself, in your single state, what am I doing? How am I developing myself or evolving to be able to come, you know, the person who I want to be? You know, everyone prays that I want this husband, you know, I want that husband. But are you set to be the wife of that husband you're praying for? Are you prepared to be that, you know, the partner that you're praying for? Are you prepared for him or are you prepared for her? So this is where we have to ensure that in our singleness, what are you doing? How are you serving? How are you, you know, what are you bringing into your life? How are you becoming purposeful that when you two become and unite as one, that you become one ministry? Because singleness is a ministry as well as, you know, marriage or being in a relationship. It's a ministry.
You said it.
Altar. Yeah, it's a ministry. And therefore, God will, you know, he will give us what we can bear. Yes, we know that. But at the end of the day, if you're not being able to put in to your own ministry, which is yourself, how would you be able to give?
Yeah, you just said something really significant that, you know, a lot of us, you know, when you have that purpose, that's when God will release the key to that relationship. Yeah. And and something came to me the other day, and I don't know whether it you know, it was like putting a plaster over a wound instead of, you know, some of us try to cover up the wounds with instead of actually going to the root of it. And how common is that patchwork, you know, like, you know, trying to mend a puncture.
And I really love that because that's what I stand for. My ministry, Freeman Psychological Service, is based on the verse that says, Romans, that says, all things work together for our good. But I always talk to people that we don't want to live a life that is patchwork. We don't want to live a band-aid lifestyle where we just cover things up. Okay, we've got relationships, I don't need to go back onto that, you know, the wound that is there. You know, let's just cover that up for a while, and then when that person leaves or when something happens, the wound becomes even deeper and the scar becomes even, you know, deeper. So I always go into Romans 8, which says that how, look, don't live a life that is full of a band-aid lifestyle. Desire to be made whole. It's in, you know, we desire for so many things, but we don't desire to be made whole. And what does wholeness look like? It's something that in everything, your mind, your body, and your soul is one. And each time we are allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in us, that we become truly unified in one. Everything that we do, don't go around living a life like, okay, my marriage is okay, or my relationship is okay, but you know what? I'm depressed, or you know, I have anxiety issues, and that's okay because at least I have children. Because later on, something will happen, and it will grow higher and greater than what it is. So we don't want to live a life that's sort of patchwork, where we, you know, we use a word and say, yes, you know, in Jesus' name. The great thing that the church is so used to is, I rebuke that in Jesus' name, and they think everything is okay. And sometimes I'm just sitting there like, no, you need to be healed. You get what I mean? Don't just say the word for saying sake. Because you yourself, as we go back to the protein plants in your mind, if in your mind you don't see yourself as blessed and highly favored, even if you rebuke it, there is nothing behind what you're saying.
But Heather, you know, Dr. Heather, should I say, you've obviously worked really hard. You look like a young lady, according to your pictures I've seen. Psychology is not a joke at university. It's not an easy degree. What made you want to be a psychologist?
Well, from a young age, I wanted to be a pediatrician, actually. I wanted to work with kids. I wanted to be a doctor. I went through a lot of things in my life, like a loss of my dad and a lot of things that took place that, you know, abused and everything. So that, and because as a child, I never used to speak.
Right.
So this would, I would just suppress a lot of things. Things would happen and I would just be like, okay, let's just carry on. You know, I would still pass my A levels, everything. But something said to me, and that time I wasn't truly phased, but something said to me, you're not going to be a doctor. You're going to be a psychologist. You're going to be a voice to a lot of people that have suffered what you have suffered from. And I thought, wow, okay. How can I be a voice when I'm suffering? But then, and that's how I went into psychology, because of childhood experiences of what I faced. And then, yeah, so it went on from there. And then, you know, I went into psychology. But as I was doing a degree, I was like, how is this even going to help me? Because it's very theoretical. During my degree, I was able to work in the CAB and do, you know, counselling with other people in my year out. Well, it's within the degree. It's 4 years, but in the year, they gave us experience. Yeah, and from what I've been through, God said, you know what, I'm going to use your life as a ground to build my glory in. And from that, it's just, I just speak to everybody. I have the patience, because, you know, everything that we're going through, he produces patience within us. And in that, when you know, that's why I love the verse, all things work together for our good, because I always say now, which is my favorite slogan now, it's not personal, it's purposeful. Nothing that has happened to us was ever to hurt us or to harm us or to pull us down. It was to be for the benefit of someone else. It was to be for the benefit of someone else to live, to someone else to come out of that prison, for someone else to know that they can recover out of what seems like a useless or an impossible situation. And I had to go through a lot of things in order for me to be able to be a voice to a lot of people, and to even see, and because recently I saw someone that was abused, but they looked normal. They looked normal. No one ever saw it, but I saw someone that was abused. After probing that person, and this was a child, they were able to speak out and say, oh yes, I was abused. And we're able to put things in place, because we can add, in terms of the doctor side of just doing the external thing, give you an injection, give you medication, okay, go and rest,
patchwork.
Yeah, that's patchwork. And that's it really irritates me, because when I talk about mental health, people just start thinking about, okay, let's put laws in place, let's put this in place, let's put that in place. But when all these things are in place, you're still going to be confined, because you live in your mind, and whatever your mind says is how your reality is. So if we don't deal with the background of everything, then your life will still be a mess.
I guess when people are going through that process, it can be painful because they've got to go back to the pain of it. But if you don't go back to the pain, you can't get the healing, I guess. Is that the way it works? I don't know.
That's it. You have to go through the pain. You have to really go through, grow through, because sometimes what happens is we go through, and because we go through, we miss the process and what we were supposed to learn.
Mm.
But when you grow through something, which is when you go back to what actually happened, and you allow yourself to feel those emotions, because I think a lot of people, because they don't want to deal with those emotions, they stay stuck. And they think they're going forward, but they're still going backwards, or they're standing in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're in a jogging thing and you're just jogging and on the...
Is that how schizophrenia... You know, like schizophrenia, is that sort of similar... I know that's a really deep... But because you're a psychologist, I'm just dying to ask you this. You know, schizophrenia, is that a form of... you know, when people go through pain, to deal with the pain, they build alters, and sometimes they can become personalities.
They build different personalities around them. So sometimes they're low, sometimes they're high, sometimes they hallucinate.
Mm.
You know, sometimes they act out of character and stuff. But yeah, and it's because they haven't actualized things from their childhood, or even things that they've maybe a traumatic experience. They haven't able to actualize what's actually taken place.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes an abnormality in their mind.
Right.
Everything that we do, everything that we act out now, we're producing stuff in our mind, chemicals in our mind that starts to order who we are, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens where hallucinations take place, because they're not able to understand where those thoughts come from. And then they act according to those hallucinations, or they act according to that impulse.
Right. Okay. So we have to be so careful, I guess, with our emotions and our thoughts and everything we do with those thoughts. Isn't there a scripture that says, take into captivity each thought?
Yes, 2 Corinthians 10.
Thank you.
I love
that verse. it's great talking to you.
High imagination.
So look, we've got this book, Becoming Purposefully You. First of all, how can people order the book and get a copy for themselves? And also, let us know, can they actually talk to you? How can they get in touch with you if they want you to, you know, give them some counselling? Is that service on offer as well?
Yeah, that service is on offer. Okay, the book first. So you can get it on Amazon. That's being lined up this week. So you can get that on Amazon, Waterstones, online, Kindle, on the Kindle as well. Also email me or inbox me directly, which was heatherbroby@hotmail.co.uk, where I have some hard copies as well that I can post off to you as well.
Mm-hmm. So I'm speaking to Dr. Heather Broby and about this wonderful book that is out now. It's a wonderful book. Everyone should read it. It's called Becoming Purposefully You, and it's a daily devotional to help you step out of your mess and step into your message. Heather, thank you so much for talking to us. Now, apart from reading this wonderful book or working through it, is there anything that you would like to say? You know, someone's feeling not quite right, they can't shake it off, it's affecting their daily lives, they want change but they don't know how to bring it about. What can they do?
First things first is get counselling.
Right.
That's number one. And number two, just know that going for counselling or even acknowledging that you're suffering does not define who you are.
Mm.
You are still blessed. You are still purposeful. You are still great. You know, who God has chosen you to be has not changed who you are. You are still who God has called you to be. You are still anointed. You are still great. But just go and get counselling. Mm. Allow yourself to heal. You know, don't rush the process of what you're going through, no matter how small it is or how long it's been, whether you're an elder or whether you're a child. Don't allow your voice to be maligned because of what stigma has around mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Open up your heart, open up your mind, and get the help that you need, that you can truly step out of your mess and become purposefully you. And just know that all things work together for the good of those that truly love God. And He knows the plans He has for you. And those plans are not to harm you. Nothing that has ever happened to you was for you. Just know that everything that you've gone through, it is a key to unlock the destiny, not only of your own, but of someone else. And you shall become that voice in Jesus' name.
Amen to that. Oh, I really hear you on that one. So nothing is for without a reason, and everything negative can become a positive. You know, you've got some warnings in your book as well. The worst thing you can do if you're feeling down is hide away and leave your ministry and leave church. Because sometimes it's church that makes us feel depressed, is it? Could that happen?
That's it. Trust me, that is a big fact.
not every church pastor. I do love you and I love my church. Not every church, but sometimes people behavior, we're all human, and sometimes what you expect, our expectations of people sometimes could be too high. So when we're let down, and we say, well, that's not really Christian, it's not supposed to be, we're all human, and you know, we have that ability of hurting each other still, I guess.
We're not just supposed to live, we're supposed to live abundantly. So if you're in a place, not somewhere that you can grow, if you're being pushed down, you know, if you're, you know, your character's been assassinated, if you're not allowed to voice out who you are, if you're not allowed to walk in the purpose that God has called you to be, that is not of God. And, you know, I always say to people, don't allow church hurt to make you move out of the presence of God. Go and find another ministry that you can grow in. Never leave a church and just say, okay, let me just go in the world. No, just go back into a place, you know, take your time and, you know, allow yourself to heal. Make sure that you speak to someone that you can confidently speak in. And also the person you're speaking, I always say to people, your friend is not a psychologist. They're so used to speaking to our friends and we think, oh yeah, I'm speaking, so that's fine. No, go and find a professional psychologist and allow them to make you go through that process of being able to relive and revisit certain things that you repress, and then you heal. But just find a ministry. And I do say that in a book, like, if you're in a place that is not making you grow spiritually, mentally, physically, you know, leave, but also find somewhere that you can grow in.
Right, so Heather, you're available as a psychologist. How can people get hold of you personally?
So that's Heather Broby. So that's Bravo Romeo Oscar Bravo Bravo Echo Yacht at hotmail.co.uk, or you can call me personally on 075-477-33976.
Heather, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. I've been speaking to Dr. Heather Broby on UGN Jams on Heartbeat. Thank you for speaking to us here.
Thank you for having me.